Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Programme for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our programme is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome once again to our amazing program on this Friday morning, lovely other morning. Now, we're going to start today with an article about money laundering. Wow. The darker side of the world's offshore financial system, and it's written by Thalif Dean. A sign outside a laundry in New York City had a frivolously flippant slogan: "We launder dirty clothes, not dirty money." In a 2019 movie titled Laundromat, based on a story, Secrecy World, by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Jake Bernstein, exposed the Byzantine world of money laundering. That's the insidiously darker side of the world's financial system, with millions of dollars in ill-gotten gains finding safety in offshore banks. A crime perpetrated on a global scale, says a high-level panel on international financial accountability, transparency, and integrity for achieving the 2030 agenda. And that's facty.
Ibrahim Mayaki, who is the co-chair of FACTI and former Prime Minister of Niger, points out that closing loopholes that allow money laundering, corruption and tax abuse, and stopping wrongdoing by bankers, accountants and lawyers are steps in transforming the global economy for the universal good. In a report released on 25th February in 2021, the UN panel has called on governments to agree to what they call a global pact for financial integrity for sustainable development. The panel, comprising former world leaders, central bank governors, business and social society heads and civil society, says as much as 2.7% of the global gross domestic product, GDP for short, is laundered annually. While corporations shopping around for tax-free jurisdictions cost governments up to $600 billion a year.
At a time when billionaires' wealth soared by 27.5%, even while 131 million people were pushed into poverty due to COVID-19, the report says a tenth of the world's wealth could be hidden in offshore financial assets, preventing governments from collecting their fair share of taxes. Recovering the annual loss to tax avoidance and evasion in Bangladesh, for example, would allow the country to expand its social safety net to 9 million more of the elderly. In Chad, it could pay for 38,000 classrooms. And in Germany, it could build 8,000 wind turbines, according to the report.
Professor Kunal Sen, who's the director of the UN University World Institute for Development Economics Research, told IPS, at a time when developing countries are facing sharp declines in tax revenues due to the economic crisis generated by the pandemic, it is imperative to find solutions to the large losses to public exchequers due to illicit financial flows. This is a key challenge to development, as provision of crucial public services such as education, healthcare, and infrastructure rely on states having money to spend. Global coordination of taxation policies, preferably led by the G7, which is the world's industrialized countries, that limit tax evasion and money laundering is the need of the hour, he noted.
James A. Paul, a former executive director at Global Policy Forum, told IPS, the new report by the UN high-level panel is certainly welcome, but there is reason to wonder where it will take us. It provides a devastating analysis of the global corrupt financial system. And now the financiers undermine well-being, fairness and legitimacy. The report argues that the system's architecture and rules make sustainable development and the UN 17 Sustainable Development Goals very difficult, if not impossible, to achieve. Those who have been critically following the global financial system over the past few decades will not disagree, but they will find little here that is truly new, said Paul, who wrote of Foxes and Chickens, Oligarchy and Global Power in the UN Security Council.
He also pointed out that it has been clear then for a long time that the world's richest families and nations are the primary beneficiaries of the system, that they have a hammerlock on politics, and that they have no intention of changing things in any fundamental way. In particular, the national leaders of this global corruption mafia are nationals of the United States and the United Kingdom, whose financial institutions and oligarchies are the world's most powerful, he added. They have ruled the global financial system for a long time and, in spite of declarations to the contrary, they are dead set against reforms that would increase fairness, transparency and the other good things the high-level panel seeks to promote, said Paul.
This brings us to the dilemma of the UN and its capacity to analyse and to resolve the world's most fundamental problems. However, Paul said the presidents of the UN General Assembly and the Economic and Social Council are to be congratulated for setting up this panel and for reminding us once again how the global oligarchy is practicing corruption on a breathtaking and devastating scale. The report's authors are unable to go far enough, however. This is no surprise, for we need something more fundamental, nothing less than a roadmap towards a global democratic order, freed from the grip of the financial oligarchy and guided at last by the needs and the will of the people themselves, the UN and its capacity to analyse and to resolve the world's most fundamental problems.
A former UN Secretary General, Kofi Annan, who is a national of Ghana, once said that billions of dollars of public funds continue to be stashed away by some African leaders, even while roads are crumbling, health systems are failing, school children have neither books nor desks nor teachers, and phones do not work. Dr. Richard Ponzio, Senior Fellow and Director of the Global Governance, Justice and Security Program at the Stimson Center in Washington, D.C., told IPS that aside from eroding national tax bases and diverting funds from critical public expenditure projects, tax abuse, corruption and money laundering help fuel insecurity in today's hyper-connected global economy by sustaining the work of criminal syndicates and international terrorists, to the detriment of global security and justice.
The recommended Global Pact for Financial Integrity for Sustainable Development, he argued, should help extend the Financial Action Task Force's global reach in coordinating global anti-money laundering efforts. In addition, more, especially non-OECD countries, should be encouraged to participate in the OECD Declaration of Automatic Exchange of Information, that is the AEO in brackets, and I, in tax matters, which aims to increase banking transparency and decrease tax evasion worldwide. The AEOI standard, which benefits poor and rich nations alike, makes it harder for money launderers to hide their proceeds and easier for the victims of tax evasion to recover funds.
For developing countries to fully realise the benefits of this new transparency, Ponzio said, the developed world and international institutions should recognise and help overcome the financial and capacity restraints that prevent well-off countries from participating in a multilateral regime for AEOI. Simultaneously, developed and developing countries should promote the transparency of corporate registries to prevent money launderers from operating behind shell countries. Paul told IPS that NGOs, both local and national and international, have long been pointing out the staggering sums diverted from public treasuries by banks and financial managers, aided by corrupt politicians and systematically covered up by journalists, professors and other apologists.
The honest investigations have shown, among other things, how taxes are avoided or evaded, and how the richest individuals and companies pay almost nothing in support of public projects and programs. This knowledge has deepened public distrust of governments, and it has led us into the present crisis of global authoritarianism. But it has done little to change regulatory laws, improve the harvesting of taxes, or reduce public corruption. If anything, the trend has been moving in the opposite direction.
Ponzio said the UN's guiding principles on business and human rights and other corporate social responsibility standards can also contribute to improving due diligence requirements to prevent or decrease illicit financial flows in different economic sectors, including financial, accounting and legal. He said participatory budgeting and a human rights approach to budget monitoring can shine a spotlight on whether illicit financial flows divert government expenditure from promoting the public good. Empowered with the right information, civil society organisations, the media and the general public can each play significant roles in holding states, businesses and facilitators, that's lawyers and accountants, to their human rights obligations. And that was sourced from IPS.
And now for an article by Benjamin Kremsmaster, and it is entitled The End of Corruption. More and more, the nations are beginning to recognise, to take seriously and to deal with an age-old problem, namely corruption. In some parts of the world, corruption has been a way of life for centuries. This has benefited the few, of course, at the expense of the many. For untold ages, corrupt leaders and powerful politicians have waxed rich on the taxes imposed on their subjects and citizens. In modern times, the large corporations of the West have been found guilty of cooking the books on a massive scale, while in the East it is taken for granted that every transaction needs the greasing of someone's palm. Corruption is endemic and runs through some societies, from the president or prime minister to the police and sport. Electoral corruption is rampant, as recent elections have demonstrated, even in countries supposedly dedicated to freedom and democracy. Such corrupt governments fail and betray their peoples and so surrender their right to govern.
In the midst of such corruption, is it possible to engender trust, without which the future for men would be bleak indeed? Without trust, a fairer sharing of resources would be a forlorn hope. Without trust, the global decisions required to sustain our planetary home would never be taken. Without blessed and beneficent trust, men would forfeit their right of stewardship of planet Earth and would seal themselves off for aeons from further evolution. Thus would it be, and thus should men tackle seriously and without delay the corrosive impact of corruption on every strata of society and every nook and cranny of our planetary life.
To help men to do this, you may be sure that Maitreya will be at pains to demonstrate to men the eroding effect of corruption in all its many manifestations. He will show that if men would become the gods they essentially are, they must abandon the old ways of deceit and subterfuge. To tackle the serious environmental problems, he will explain, men must work together in trust. Without trust, Maitreya will emphasize, little can be done. So steeped in corruption themselves are the leaders of the nations that they trust no one.
Maitreya will show that men have but one choice to create the necessary trust, to share the produce of this most bounteous earth more evenly across the world, and so end forever the starvation into poverty of millions dying in the midst of plenty. Will the leaders listen to the words of Maitreya? For the most part, possibly no, not at first. But soon the people everywhere will hear and see the wisdom of Maitreya's advice. They will say amen to his wise words and support his cause. World public opinion will find its voice and its mentor, and against its power the obstructive voices of the greedy dictators and corrupt politicians will fade. So will it be, and so will begin the cleansing and transformation of this world.
Okay, thank you. And now we come to another article, which is extremely interesting, and it's sourced from the BBC.com website and is titled Latino Teenager Sues an Oil Company and Wins. Yay. I began my activism at the age of 9, and I didn't even know it was considered activism, says Nalali Kobo, a Latino teenager. At that young age, in 2010, and living in University Park, South Central Los Angeles, she began suffering from asthma, nosebleeds, and headaches. She sometimes had body spasms so severe that she couldn't walk, and nosebleeds so bad that she had to sleep sitting up to avoid choking. I was being poisoned in my home by a silent killer, she explains.
Soon, she and her mother became aware that their neighbours were experiencing similar health issues. They began to notice strange odours in the air. She said, it smelled like rotten eggs, and once it got into your house, it wouldn't go away even if you closed the windows, turned on fans and put air purifiers in the traverses, that's the space between the sashes, of the windows, she says. Thinking that there might be a gas leak in their building, they invited a group of toxicologists to come and speak to their community.
These experts outlined how the chemicals used for oil extraction as well as emissions can harm human health if there is a long-term exposure. Kobo and her family lived across the street from an oil well owned by Allen Co., only 30 feet from their apartment. She and her family began organizing in their community and started the campaign, People Not Pozos, Spanish word for oil wells. Composed of mostly low-income families, they filed complaints with the South Coast Air Quality Management District and went door-to-door asking people to share their stories at a City Hall hearing.
Kobo says, it was so powerful to know that this community, this Spanish-speaking, black and brown immigrant community that nobody cared about, was coming over to the City Hall to make our voices heard. After starting their campaign, they learned that 580,000 Angelinos live within a quarter of a mile or less to an active oil and gas well, and most of these people live in low-income communities of color.
A story about their work was featured in the Los Angeles Times, attracting the attention of former U.S. California Senator Barbara Boxer. She initiated a press conference and brought investigators from the EPA, which stands for Environmental Protection Agency, to assess the situation at Allen Co.'s well site. After further local and federal investigations, Allen Co. agreed to shut down the site temporarily. Nalali co-founded the South Central Youth Leadership Coalition, and together with other organizations, they sued the city of Los Angeles in 2015 for violation of the California Environmental Quality Act.
We won, explains Kobo, and that means that when opening or expanding wells, there is a new application process. Even though I moved out of University Park, I'm campaigning to set up a 2,500-feet health and safety buffer zone between oil wells and schools, hospitals and parks. A separate criminal case against Allen Co. and its handling of the site has resumed in late March 2021.
In January 2020, Nalali was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 19. After a year of treatment and three surgeries, including a radical hysterectomy, she was declared cancer-free in January 2021. That was a year later. She wants to pursue a career as a civil rights attorney and afterwards to go into politics. She says, my definition of environmental justice is the ability to breathe clean air despite my age, my gender, my ethnicity, social economic status, or zip code. It is fighting. It is protecting my community, my home. And the source is thebbc.com.
Thank you very much for listening in to us today. If you'd like further information, check out the website share-international.org or write to us if you have any queries. The email address is sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.